Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, and we'll be glad to address your question. 844-32-BASIC is the number to dial. Again, 844-32-BASIC. The phone number, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel. We're here to serve you. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Jesus Christ is alive. That's the good news of the gospel. That's the announcement that's been being made around the world since Christ was raised from the dead. And that changes everything. It changes just our trajectory as far as life is concerned. We go from death to life. We go from old to new. We go from being dead in sin to being fully alive in Jesus. This new covenant, this resurrection story is just incredibly life-changing.
Yeah.
And that's what we've been talking about all month. Here's something that's of interest to me as far as this new covenant is concerned, and it's really the first promise of this new covenant. And it shows that what we now have in Christ is internal in nature, not external. So we had the old covenant. There were tablets of stone, and on those two tablets were written the Ten Commandments. And that guided the people. It was an external guide for them. But in this new covenant, we're guided internally by the Spirit of God. And so he says that this is the covenant that I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. So something has happened inside of each and every one of us. Now our hearts are inclined toward God, to trust him, to hope in him, and to express that faith and hope and love toward others. Those are the laws that God has written on our hearts. That's what the Holy Spirit has penned on the inside of each and every one of us who have come to know Christ by faith. That's new life.
Yeah.
The other way was just a set of rules and regulations that we had to abide by through human effort. It was on our shoulders to live up to those righteous requirements. We couldn't do it. In this new covenant, God writes those things on our hearts, and if we learn to trust him and abide in him, we will see his love, his hope, his patience, his kindness flowing out of our lives and into the lives of others.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, that's Basic Gospel, and this is Basic Gospel, everybody. The lines are wide open. We await your calls. If you have something you'd like to discuss, perhaps a Bible passage you don't quite understand, that's why we're here live, so that you can pose that question, get an immediate answer. That number, 844-32-BASIC, is good all across the country and in Canada, 844-32-BASIC. And we want to hear from you right now. The lines, as I said, are wide open. Well, Bob, we had a note from Ted, who lives in Alexandria, Virginia. It's so well thought out and so clearly stated that I can't help but share it. It's not exactly a question, but it was very, very moving and meaningful to me. He says, thank you for your focus on Christ. I just wanted to share with you something that really helps me to clear up the misunderstanding that we can lose our salvation or that the believer needs to ask for more forgiveness. First, what is salvation? Salvation is moving from spiritual death to eternal life, the very resurrected life of Jesus Christ that we can find when we come into a relationship with him. Forgiveness had a purpose. Forgiveness is not just a stay of execution. The purpose of forgiveness through Christ's death was to reconcile us to God so that we might receive his life and live forever with him, the one who loves us perfectly. I think it is likely that the problem with the folks who really get mad when you tell them that salvation is forever is that many of them have not actually come to faith in him. Faith in him involves acknowledging our own utter helplessness and surrendering, accepting his perfect love. Folks who cling to the idea that salvation can be lost or that their ongoing forgiveness is contingent upon their asking or on their sorrow are focusing on their own righteousness. This leads to self-righteousness, the opposite of love. Thank you all so much for all you do. Your focus on truth is leading me to love others with the love of God more and more. I can't wait to fellowship with you and to get to know you personally at the resurrection, if not before. And it's signed with love. That's Ted from Ted in Alexandria, Virginia. I thought a very well-written.
Very well-written indeed. Yeah. And he really gets to the heart of the matter as far as the gospel message is concerned. The gospel message is a message of hope because it's a message of life. We certainly experience guilt in life. We experience fear. We experience shame. And our initial response or desire is to be set free from those negative emotions, those strongholds in our lives. And I understand that. Yeah. That certainly was my case. I felt guilty. I felt fearful. I felt distant from God. And so forgiveness was an answer that helped me shed all of those negative emotions, all of those strongholds. But still, there was much more to the gospel message, and that much more was life. That's why Paul, and we've talked about this verse all month, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Mark it down. Go read it after this broadcast. Read the entire chapter. It's an amazing chapter, but this verse really sets the stage. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. And this is a startling conversation from Paul, a startling statement. Why? Because he was the Old Testament guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a Pharisee among Pharisees. He was a leader among Jewish leaders. He was the rising star. He was the future of Judaism back in his day. And when Jesus Christ appeared on the scene, Paul perceived him as a threat. And when a threat shows up, you do everything in your power to get rid of the threat.
Sure.
That was Paul's life. Why did he do that? To protect Judaism, to protect the way of life that this old covenant had laid out for the people of Israel. But that wasn't the purpose of the old covenant. It was just to lay out a particular way of life for the people of Israel. It had spiritual implications. It was foreshadowing the person and work of Jesus Christ. As Jesus said, if you believe Moses, you would believe me. Why? Because Moses wrote about me. That's what that Old Testament was all about. That's what that Old Covenant was all about. It was a foreshadowing of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Paul missed that message, and so he went out to rid the world of this new sect called Christianity.
Yeah.
And then he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and everything changed.
Yeah.
Old became new. Death gave way to life. Mm-hmm. Paul was changed right then and there. And so he realized that the message that all that God had been revealing to man, and particularly to the people of Israel, was a message of life that was to be brought to them in Jesus.
Yeah.
So Paul became this minister of the new covenant. God had equipped him, made him competent to deliver this good news to people all around the world, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. Why? For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life.
Right.
That's what the gospel message is about. It's about life. Now, forgiveness was a must. God had to do something with the thing that killed us, and so he dealt with it once and for all through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That put an end to sin and death. He was raised, and now we can experience new life in him. And that new life is to be lived by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, and as we trust Jesus Christ, as we abide in Jesus Christ, as we walk in the Spirit, as we are led by the Spirit of God, all of those are different phrases that describe this life of faith. We see this life of Christ being lived out through us. That's the good news story. That's what this new covenant is all about. It is a covenant of life. Sure, we want to get rid of the shame and the guilt and the fear, but there's so much more. Once you get rid of that, there's life to be lived, and that life is found in Christ and in Christ alone. So, Ted, thanks for writing that very kind note and that very insightful note about the gospel. If you're listening to the program today, maybe you've always simply perceived the gospel in terms of forgiveness. Maybe if someone asked you what the gospel is, you would respond, Christ died for my sins so that one day I could have a place in heaven when after I die. That's part of the gospel. Of that's not the full story. I want you to get the full story. I want you to realize that Christ died to take away your sins, was raised through resurrection so that you could experience a brand new life, so that you could cross over from spiritual death and enter into spiritual life, so that the old could give way to the new. That's what the gospel story is. Are you hearing it? Do you have those spiritual ears? Are you hearing that that's what the gospel? You know, it's interesting, Bob, why I asked that question about hearing the gospel. 56%, and this came out through a Lifeway research project.
Right.
56% of those polled responded that it was up to them or their works were significant in their salvation.
Or in maintaining it, yeah.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. So you might hear the gospel message, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, but if you have this preconceived notion that what you do, what you bring to the table, that you have a part in the equation or that you're part of the equation, that gospel message is going to come out jaded. Mm-hmm. It's not going to come out the way it went in. So what we need to do is throw away preconceived notions, preconceived ideas, long-held beliefs, and simply hear what the Word of God is saying. And the Word of God is saying this: Christ died to take away your sins. Christ was buried, showing that the old life has come to an end. The old covenant has been totally fulfilled. And then Christ was raised back from the dead so that you could have everlasting life. All that Christ did, that's grace. When it flows through us, it becomes new life through this faith that we express in him. That's the new covenant.
That's
so
good
the
news.
Day that you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the old gave way to the new. You entered into new covenant life that moment.
Doesn't get any better than that.
No, it doesn't.
No way. Well, friends, we're here live so that you can be a part of the broadcast and pose your question, and we'd love to hear from you right now at 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-322-2742, and we're here to serve you. If you have some troubling life issue that's maybe frustrating and you just need to let somebody know about it, well, Bob Christopher's got a good ear, so he'd love to hear from you right now. Again, 844-32-BASIC. In the meantime, Bob from Jehu listens online in Illinois. He says, I understand that it is God's will for all people to be saved, but I don't understand why God would allow Satan to roam the world and distract and deceive people from salvation. What's your take on that?
It's an interesting question, and I don't really know the answer. All I know is that's reality, we do have an enemy that is prowling about, trying to capture our minds and draw us away from our faith in Jesus Christ. That's a reality. Why God has allowed that, that's going to be a question that's going to be answered when all things become clear to us. I know in my life, there are times when things start going really well, and I think, wow, I've got this. I've really got this, yeah. Lord. I'm doing A-okay. And we lose a sense of dependence upon Christ, the need for dependence upon Christ. And so I think in a very practical way, this ongoing conflict with the flesh, this ongoing conflict with the ways of this world, this ongoing conflict with our enemy highlights our need for Christ. There's never going to be a time that we don't need Christ. Even when all things have become new, Satan has been taken care of, he has been cast into the fiery lake, second death has come to those who have rejected Christ, and we are free, totally free of the punishment of sin, the power of sin, and the presence of sin, even at that point, we still need Jesus. Why? Because we're created beings. We need the Lord. And so we're going to walk in eternity in dependence upon Jesus. That's always going to be the way it is. That's how God has set it up. And I think this world that we live in today, with all of the conflicts and all of the pressures and all the trials and all of the tribulations, helps humble us and keep us dependent upon Jesus.
Yeah,
and so, you know, we have a product, a CD product, and the cover is a plant that has grown up through a little crack in some concrete. Mm-hmm. And that concrete represents the world and the world system. And as we abide in Christ, we can see the plant of Jesus himself, you know, growing up through the cracks in this world and offering something different to the world than what it knows. And that's the good news.
Absolutely.
And only can that happen as we walk in dependence upon him.
Well, playing into what you're saying, Bob, I wonder of our listeners if you've ever wondered if Jesus really has any relevance in your life, if he cares about you personally, your marriage, your family, your vocation, things that you do every day, things that we'll be talking about at the Hear, Believe, and Live It Tour, March 7th at Valley Church in Vacaville. Bob, I know you are looking very much forward to that, as I am, and we want to remind our listeners that all the information and registration is available online from the Events tab at basicgospel.net. Again, just go online and click the Events tab, and you'll find the registration form or other information there available. Or you can speak with Billy, our operator, during Central Time office hours. Get that information at 844-412-2742. That's 844-412-2742. Basic.
And at only $19 a person or $29 a couple, it is a best value.
Yeah.
You can't beat what you're going to get at this particular conference. It will help you build a foundation for life. It will help you experience new covenant life, even in the midst of the trials and tribulations that you're going through.
Right.
It's a powerful, powerful conference. So excited to be out there. We're so grateful to our friend Jeremy White and the Valley Church
right
there in Vacaville that is hosting this event. We're also grateful to our two affiliates, KDIA and KFIA, and their help in promoting this particular conference. So we want you to come be a part of it. Again, the date is March 7th. All the information is online at basicgospel.net under the Events tab. Mm-hmm. Register, come join us. I think the church out there holds between 300 and 400 people in
their
auditorium.
Love to see it fill
up.
Yeah.
Let's fill it up.
You bet.
Why? Because, man, this gospel message is the most exciting message that's ever entered into our world. And we want to become good news stories.
Yeah.
We don't want to just have this, you know, touch us just briefly and then move on. We want this gospel message to enter in deeply and to really take root into the deepest recesses of who we are and let it grow and flourish so that our lives can become a good news story in this world of darkness that we live in. So come be a part of it, March 7th.
Yeah, and if you're planning to be a part of it, why not reach out and bring someone with you? Help spread the good news that Jesus Christ is alive and he has relevance in your life.
Yes, he does. Well, let's go to the Bronx and talk to Jermaine, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Jermaine.
Hello, how are you doing today?
Doing fabulous. How about you?
I'm doing fine. I was calling because I had a question about whether or not prayer to Mary is idolatry.
Well, if you're worshiping Mary, then it's idolatry. Our worship, our hearts are to be knit to the one true God that has made himself known in the person of Jesus Christ. If we're worshiping anything or anyone else other than him, we're committing idolatry. Our hearts are elsewhere.
Right. The reason I ask the question is because Catholics pray to Mary as a mediator between themselves and God. And I've been doing some research on the precepts of Catholicism, and I was concerned about whether or not the precepts of Catholicism are accurate in reference to the Bible. I know that Protestants believe in sola scriptura and that the Bible is the final word of God in reference to how things should go in the church for Protestants. But in reference to the Protestant Reformation and the precepts of the Catholic Church, I've just been doing some research, and I was just concerned in reference to how Catholics can pray through Mary as a mediator between themselves and God.
Well, there's the idea, and of course not every Catholic holds to this, and some Catholics may not even know that this would be a part of their belief system, but they look at her birth as the Immaculate Conception. And that would put her on a level of co-redeemer with Jesus Christ. They would kind of put her in the realm of divine. And so from that, they believe that they can pray to her and have her answer prayers as the mediator between them and God. Well, the scripture just doesn't hold her in that light. She was born in sin just as we are. She needed a Savior just as we do. She needed to go from death to life just as we need to go from death to life. She played a significant role in the story of Jesus. God chose her to be the mother, and she gave birth to Jesus, and she raised Jesus and nurtured Jesus. But she looked at all of his life and pondered who he was and why he came and all the things that the Lord had revealed to her in much the same way that we would. Why? Because he came to save her just like he came to save all of us. So I think we give Mary her due, as Scripture does, but we don't take it any further there. And I think praying to her is not biblically supported in any way, shape, or fashion.
So that does away with the Hail Marys. The Bible also says that you aren't supposed to pray in vain repetition, but Catholics doing penance will say so many Hail Marys in reference to exonerating themselves from a sin.
Well, there's no scriptural support for that, Jermaine. And it gets back to, what did Christ accomplish for us through his shed blood on the cross? And one of the things that we've talked about this month, and that's a significant topic on the Basic Gospel program, is the fact that Jesus took away our sins once and for all. His sacrifice was final, and that in Christ we have forgiveness of sins. If you're in Christ, you have already received forgiveness of sins. Now the question is, do we believe that or not? And I think as this gospel message continues to work into our lives, it brings us to the point that we become fully persuaded that we are forgiven people. That's the good news, and so we can rejoice with that. We can thank God that in Christ we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Well, Jermaine, thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate you taking the time to join us on air, and hope you'll do that again in the future.
Yeah, and Bob, we want to invite our listeners to go online to basicgospel.net and join our email list. There are multiple benefits to staying connected with Basic Gospel, and we want to share them with you. So just click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page at basicgospel.net. Also, giving through Basic Gospel helps to ensure that others will hear the same good news that you have heard. Every day you hear truth that has the power to set us free from the myriad things that encumber us and can rob us of the joy of our relationship with the Lord Jesus. Your gifts help keep us on the air and online, proclaiming Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection and life each day. And if you'll remember Basic Gospel in your giving, we'll keep broadcasting the truth of God's Word on Basic Gospel. You'll find a support link when you visit basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or you can phone and speak with our operator, Billy, at 844-41-BASIC. Again, that number, 844-41-BASIC. So take advantage of that. Either way is a great way to give and support this ministry and the truth of God's Word. Well, we'll be back for another edition tomorrow for Bob and Richard and the ministry team. Bob Davis saying God bless you and have a great evening in the Lord Jesus. See you then. Bye-bye.